This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 12th, episode 1080, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
You know, there are a couple things, you guys, that just go hand in hand, okay? There's things that go together that you just, they really shouldn't. Like, number one, if I, you know, I live on irrigated horse property, and there we have to sign up to get our irrigation water like a week in advance. And without a doubt, every time I sign up for irrigation, we get rain. It just happens. It is. I got my irrigation yesterday morning, and it hasn't stopped raining here since then. It is still raining right now. My horses are never going to get turned out again. Oh, my gosh, I'm so tired of this.
And you pay for that, right? Don't you pay for irrigation? Oh, yeah.
We call rain here in Phoenix. Everybody calls rain free water. It's free water, but it doesn't help if you already have water. And then just more gets on top of it. Because you pick out a certain amount of time of water that you want that will cover your property. So it's already covered, and then there's more. The other thing that is amazing is that if you have a puppy and you go to the store and you buy your puppy chew toys and squeaky bones and all sorts of puppy-directed play toys, as I've been sitting here preparing for the show, my puppy is on the floor with me. And I just, right before the show started, I turned around to, like, make sure she's where she is. Apparently, she found an entire roll of toilet paper and has destroyed, while I'm sitting here with 15 $1,000 worth of puppy chew toys around her, has destroyed a entire roll of toilet paper. It looks like there was like a toilet paper massacre that happened.
Way to go, Danny.
I don't understand. It's just things that go hand in hand. Irrigation and rain, expensive puppy toys, and them playing. You know, it's like a kid on Christmas. All they want to do is play with the box. So it's like that with a puppy. Very good.
Oh, and have you all had a dog or a cat that's done the toilet paper thing all the way across the house?
I don't even know how she got it. It wasn't sitting on the floor, so she went and got it from somewhere. Oh, good times, good times. The puppy and toddler thing was really well thought out on my part. Really well thought out.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Help me. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, once we have noshed our way through a delectable array of co-host weekend adventures and laughable lists, Kate Nelligan from Synergy TV joins us for some horses are great for self-improvement chit-chat, and the wacky world of Horse Nation serves up a heaping bowl of observational horse humor for dessert with a cherry on top. Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Hey, I got to do some housekeeping stuff here this morning, too. Before we get on, I'll do one of them before we get to our daily Winnie. I got a couple emails over the last couple of days that I thought I would address here this morning.
Uh-oh.
And then we also have to hear about your vegan food fest. We have not forgotten that on Saturday you went to a vegan food fest, and I have sound files ready. So we'll have to talk about that a little bit, too. But I did get an email from a longtime listener and a very nice woman who said wanted us to explain why we don't pick some of the what she called more important stories. And what she was referring to is the fires that killed, you know, large numbers of horses. And, you know, there was just over the weekend some shootings of horses and things like that. Well, you know, we've explained this before on the show, too, Jamie and I have, and Jennifer. We all feel very strongly that we want to keep the show an uplifting, positive event in the morning so that you don't go away feeling like you watch the local news, which is just one murder right after another. Yeah, I don't know about, you know, anybody else, but Jennifer and I have stopped watching local news. We don't watch it anymore. We avoid it at all costs just because it is the murder report. And it's, you know, you walk away feeling bad. You walk away, you know, with a little feeling like you've been beat up a little bit. And that's not what we want horses in the morning to be. This is supposed to be a positive experience. Yes, if there's really, really bad stuff, we cover it and then we move on. But, you know, we're not, if we covered everything, Jamie and I were talking about it before the show today. We looked at our list of news stories from around the world. 99% of them were tragic and awful. And if we sat here, we could do nothing for the next hour and a half but cover the awful, tragic horse deaths, horse shot, rescues, riders dying, you know, just endless number of stories, especially this morning. I don't know why, but it was a tragic weekend for the horse world. And it's all we would do, and you would walk away never wanting to listen to us again. So that's what we pick out the ones that we think are the most important to cover for whatever reason. And then, you know, that's why we do what we do and try and keep it an upbeat show. And from what we've heard from our listeners, that's what they like. And that's why we do what we do. So there's plenty of other news sources out there. You can get the crappy news if you want.
Exactly. And the show description, if you read it on horsesinthemorning.com, is a light and lively, entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it. And that's kind of our mantra, and that's what we like to be. You know, that's why we like to cover California Chrome winning the Vox Populi. And then we like to talk about, you know, different draft horse things and driving things and racehorse things to try to keep on top of the fun and positive stories, because like Glenn said, you know, you can turn on your local news for the rest of it, sadly.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Very good. Let's do our daily week. And we started the Daily Winnies, if you remember, Jamie, way, way back in the beginning of, I think, the first day of this show, to provide a little positive, you know, little positive boost to the beginning of the show. And mine is positive because it's... I have a happy birthday to Reese Coffler Stanfield, host of the Dressage Radio Show. She's now down in Wellington with her horses. Happy birthday, Reese. Not a bad place to be on your birthday, I would say. And also Sam Gay, Templeton Thompson's husband. Happy birthday to you, Sam.
You know, the irony is very thick in here this morning, because as we're talking about positive and happy and uplifting things, I had to send a Daily Winnie out just to one of my sadly lost members of Flyover Farm yesterday. I lost a member, and I just thought that she should be recognized for her life of being here at the farm. She was here for about 45 minutes. Yesterday, you guys know I cannot go to a feed store with baby chicks.
Oh,
no,
chickens.
I can't do it. And so I was at the feed store yesterday.
You have now.
I have 12, but, you know, it's nice to have some more egg layers. I have a son who eats eggs every morning, a husband eats eggs.
Good Lord, 12 chickens will supply enough eggs for four families.
Well, listen, I like to give them away. I'm kind of a good Samaritan like that. I like to share my chicken eggs. I like to collect them. I like to hand them out. I don't sell them. I just give them to, you know, people that are friends. So anyway, I'm supplying the West Valley with eggs at this point. So I yesterday was at the feed store, and they had these tiny little white, those literally, like, they look like they just hatched. They're the tiniest little eggs, and they're the white leghorns, and they're just like these cute little yellow baby chickies. They're so cute. So I got, usually I'll get two chicks, and one always inevitably dies. So I thought, I need to get three so the two can have friends. Because once their little buddy they grow up with dies, they're like alone. They don't get along with the rest of the group. I don't know. I'm learning chicken behavior. I don't know these things. So I'm like, I'm going to be smart, and I'm going to get three. I get three. I bring them home. I set up the little nest. I've got the little heat lamp and everything. And they're so cute, and they're all playing together. And I go out, and I hop on Edward, and I go for a ride, and I come back. And as I'm walking down the driveway, I see like red spots in the leaves. And I mean, I was like, that was like super FBI agent of me to even see those. I'm like a crime analysis, you know. I'm like, that's blood. And I get off Edward. I'm like, where's the puppy? Okay, puppy's here. Where are all my chickens? Chicken, chicken, chicken. All the chickens come back. The dogs are. Whose blood is that? And I go look at the baby chicks, and they have They're so tiny that they fit through chicken wire. So they were actually out walking around. These literally are like the size of a quarter, Glenn. They're so small. Sadly.
The puppy had lunch?
It wasn't the puppy. I don't know who it was. I think it was a hawk. Reached down and grabbed it, and all there was like a little puddle of blood. And so my daily Winnie goes out to my little dead homie. I'm going to pour a little out for you. Sadly. I didn't even have a name for you. I'm going to, we got to give her a name. I'm sad. That was a very, very quick $2 that I spent, okay? It's gone, and now I have to go back and get another one because the three, they're not supposed to die that quick.
Do you know the Chicken Whisperer radio show is still on? Do you remember us talking about that back when you first started getting chickens?
Oh, my God. There's a chicken. I don't remember. You remember. I don't remember anything after the show. So there's a Chicken Whisperer radio show. Can we please?
Yes. Yes. It's the chicken. It's chickenwhisperer.com. He's been 5 years on the air now. He's live. Get this. Monday through Thursday from 2 to 3:30. He does an hour and a half show 4 days a week about chickens.
Gosh.
It's
going to
be tough for us to do horses. How tough is it to do chickens?
You're right. I mean, how many people said to us, what are you going to talk about after the first week? And now there's somebody that does 4 years on chickens, 4 days a week. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, let me give you an example. He's talking about quails today and quail eggs. And then he also talks about garden living, and I guess that's what you do with the chicken poop after you're done with it. And he has a lady on talking poultry today. So, yes, you can do an hour and a half show about chickens 4 days a week, apparently.
That's amazing.
Well, a couple things here. I got another email from another listener who asked if the Horses in the Morning show, the live version, was going to be on the phone app anytime soon. And the answer to that question is no. We still have not figured out a way to get Blog Talk Radio to talk to the phone app and make all of that happen. And it doesn't look like Blog Talk Radio is going to be introducing that anytime or allowing us the ability to do that anytime soon. So that's probably not happening. You can do it, actually, if you just go to your browser and search for Horses in the Morning and do it that way. You can listen live, but not through the app. One other email question.
Let me point something out real quick. If you go to the chickenwhisperer.com, like if you were a non-chicken person and you thought there's a guy that talks this much about chickens, what do you think he wears? What does he look like? Well,
I would picture a guy in overalls.
You are exactly right. The guy would like a kind of half beard goatee thing in overalls. Yep. He wears overalls, just like you would think. So there you go.
You're going to have to check it out and give us a report. We need to get him on. That's your mission. We need to get the Chicken Whisperer on our show.
Oh, my God,
I'll do
it.
You write to him and see if you can get him on. That'd be funny.
That's my next big get as a guest. Huh?
Yeah, that's your big get. That's right. So let's see here. Another email question. I had an email question that said, whatever happened to the ESMA Awards, the Equestrian Social Media Awards? Remember we won the first year? Well, that is a good question. And Liam Killen announced in October that he had put him on hold for indefinitely. It was a lot of work. Remember, we had Liam on 100 times.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work. And he and his partner were about to start a family and have a baby or something like that. So he said that he was going to have to spend more time on the family stuff and less time on worrying about who's winning the ESMO Awards. So that's why you haven't heard any nominations or anything that would happen this time of year. He did it for 4 years, I believe it was. We won the first year for Best New Media Outlet or something like that. And then we covered it for, you know, and had special shows about it and all that stuff. But, yeah, not happening this year, it looks like. So that answers that question. Also, for our friends in Pennsylvania, it's the one time a year when Jennifer and I are unhappy that we don't live in Pennsylvania because the Pennsylvania Farm Show opened over the weekend and runs all week long. It's the largest indoor agricultural exhibit in the nation. There are more than 10,000 exhibits, 6,000 animals, and about a billion potatoes and other food objects that are served there, milkshakes. And a zillion horse shows and things to do. And we used to go over and watch the horse pulling and all the different horse events in the evenings. That's going on all week long. It's Pennsylvania Farm Show, which means one thing. If you're from Pennsylvania, you'll know this. It is going to be a major snow and ice storm this week in Pennsylvania because that always happens during the Pennsylvania Farm Show.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. You look forward to that. So that's all. I think that got caught up on all the emails I had from the weekend that I had to answer. Now, let's get to the important things, and that is everybody is waiting to hear the results of the Vegan Food Fest that you went to in Phoenix on Saturday.
Okay.
What I asked you to do, let's review the homework, though. The homework was that you were supposed to, like, record or mentally remember everything that you ate, and then you're going to relay what that was to us, and I have sound effects. You know, if it sounded yummy to me, and I'm representing the whole audience, by the way, if it sounded yummy to me in the audience, then it was going to be this sound effect. And if it was bad, then it was going to be this sound effect. That's from Family Guy, by the way.
Was that Jennifer? Were those Jennifer?
No, that was Family Guy.
Ew!
This is Rachel Ray.
Yum.
Yeah, it's very, very quick, Rachel Ray. So, all right. So how did it go?
I want you to play each one of those one more time.
Okay, here's the...
Ew! Yum.
Okay, because you're really not going to be able to play those anymore. I know you did a lot of work, and I wanted you to get some mileage out of it. Because this is the vegan, this is like the vegetarian food fest where everything was going to be vegan. I convinced and had to buy the ticket for one of my girlfriends to go. Thank God they were on Groupon, nice and cheap, so I got us both tickets. I have no vegetarian friends, so she was, you know, kind of really taking one for the team for me there. And we drove almost an hour with Lucas and her and I on Saturday morning to get to the Vegetarian Food Fest. I'm not kidding you, Glenn. I could barely sleep Friday night. I was so excited. Because if you think Food Fest, you think Taste of Atlanta or Taste of Chicago, where there's like booths lined up down the way with all these samples of food. And I mean, this was my impression. You get samples of food and then you're like, yeah, I'll buy that. And so you buy the food and you eat it while you're walking around. Am I wrong to assume that that's what a food fest is?
No, I've been to many chili cook-offs where there's been 50 booths and you walk down and they give you these little cups and you can sample all the different chilies.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, because I've been to a chili cook-off, too. Like, that's what I was imagining. So we show up, and as we're pulling into park, I look around. I'm like, oh, see that girl right there? She's a vegetarian. Oops, see that girl right there? She's a vegetarian. Because vegans have a very distinct look, Glenn. They look the same. They all have those flowy skirts on that are like organic cotton.
Leftover from the
Yeah, exactly. And like a very like kind of fitting t-shirt, and they have sandals no matter what the temperature. They all have very long hair that is unkempt because it's washed with some sort of organic hair products, and they don't flat iron. You know, I'm like, it is like you, I just, I'm like, that's a vegan. There's a vegan. She's like, oh my God, you're right. I'm like, yeah, they all look the same. They have very distinct looks. So, we park.
Did you have your little skirt on, by the way? Just
you know what? I actually wore tennis shoes because I thought if I wore my paddock boots, which I wear everywhere, people are going to, like, give me a disgusting look. But I had to have a belt on. So I had a belt, but I kept my shirt covering it because of the leather. And I thought, I don't want anybody to throw blood on me. Right? You know, I don't want anybody to throw blood on me and blood of cows is on you. Yeah. Anyway, you guys know I'm not actually vegan just for the entire month because I'm doing this kind of little health kick and lose weight and try to see if I can live, you know, more plant-based. So we get in, and it's in a big park. And so there's booths, like, all the way around the park. So we head in, and you kind of directed to go to the left. And the first booth was about saving farm animals. And cows and milk and how, you know, it's really terrible for the dairy industry's horrible and everything. And so we look at that and, you know, they're handing out pamphlets. So you get a pamphlet. The next one was sign up for a farm share, which is organic, you know, vegetables. And they deliver it. Well, the closest delivery to my house was like 45 minutes away. So we moved on. Then the next one was another one on why butter and milk are terrible. And the next one was Booth was an animal rights activist department. And then the next one was animal rescue. And then the next one was animal rights. And the next one was animal rights. And the next one was animal rights. And we're like, I didn't even eat breakfast, Glenn, because I was ready to grub out, okay? Ready to grub out. 16 animal rights activist booths later, we get to the very last booth. That's it. There was two. Actually, as we're walking around, we did the entire circle, and I think one person was giving out, like, maybe centimeter by centimeter inches of power bars, like these vegan power bars. So, like, we're like, oh, we must
have
been the
food
section. There was
no food at the vegan food festival?
Glenn, there's two booths at the end. One is selling tacos, like vegan tacos, and the next one is selling Indian food. All the way around, there are 600-700 people here, Glenn. All people that think
they
were getting
food. Were they all pissed,
too?
Were they all
and
pissed, too?
I don't know, but they were all in line. We're talking like a booth that's like 12 by 12, and there's like one guy making tacos, and there's 300 people in line for a taco.
No.
Then
oh,
the next
no.
booth, the Indian food, I see people like with these big things of fried bread. There's nowhere to sit in a food fest, but they're standing around like with a fork in some giant vegan meatball, and they're trying to like gnaw on the vegan meatball that's on the end of their fork. And again, there's 300 people in line. It was the most disappointing thing I have ever done. I was so excited, and we got all the way around. We were there like maybe got to the end after like 15 minutes.
Oh, your friend must have been really.
I'm like, where's the food? She's like, I don't know. Where's the food? Is this it? And we get there. They're like, yeah, this is where you eat. Like, what the hell kind of food fest is this? This could have been the Animal Rights Activist Bureau is what this is. And thank God I only paid $12 a ticket on Groupon because there were $25.
Oh, room. Then you had to take her out for dinner, didn't you? Because there was no food at food fest.
You bet I did. And so we were there 15 minutes. We make our way all the way around. I'm like, all right, ready to go? She's like, yep. So we get back in the car and we left. I mean, I was devastated and embarrassed as well that all these hippie, vegetarian, skirt-wearing vegan chicks with, you know, armpit hair walking around, starving to death, starving to death. It was embarrassing. Now, my friend Leah at least bought one of those power bars because she was like, this might be the only food I can eat in this whole entire place. Well, we split her power bar on the way out. And it was awful. Then we went to lunch and went home. The whole thing, it took longer to drive there than it took to actually be there.
Did she have a burger for lunch just because she's...
Oh, my gosh.
Did your friend have a burger for lunch or steak?
Yeah, we were in Scottsdale, and she's like, there's a great sandwich place. And so she gets this, like, giant meat sandwich. And I'm like, can I just get lettuce and tomato on bread, please? You know, like, maybe some mustard. Like, again, I'm starving to death. But, yeah, it was It was pretty disappointing. I'm not going to lie. So play your sound effects now so you can get some use out of them.
Yeah. It's been an hour finding it. We're gonna keep that one, by the way. I think we'll have to keep that one around for when you guys do stories. I can play that. That'll be dual purpose.
Yum, I think we'll
get rid of yum, yum, yum. Yeah, but we'll keep ooh. I think that'll come in handy in the future. Well, I'm very sorry that you didn't. I know you were. You know, the vegan people really need to go over to the meat side and go to a barbecue cook-off or a chili cook-off to see how one of these is supposed to run. They forgot to check it out. See how it's supposed
to happen. Embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I mean, I was like, why on earth did they call it a food fest when there's no damn food?
Maybe the other option is there's just nobody that knows how to cook good vegan food. You know, maybe all the booths would have been lined up, you know, handing out raw carrots. And, you know, that gets old after about 12 booths. So,
yeah, that's pretty much what I've been eating anyway, so I get it. I mean, I was almost to go over to... Actually, you know what I ended up doing is I had a tube of baby food, and I ate Lucas's baby food. I'm like,
well, I'm very sorry
pear, apple, spinach. Delicious. Yeah. So, sorry, I know we still have time to kill. I have nothing else to add.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you tell it... I didn't watch it because I didn't care. But we should have spent at least 2 minutes on the Golden Globes. So you watched it? You suffered through it?
I did. Thank God for fast-forwarding because you just zip right through people's speeches so you don't know who they are and stuff. But, you know, I watched it because Amy Poehler and Tina Fey are the hosts. And you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, go online and look, just watch their opening is always the best. And they were so funny. I laughed out loud so many times when they were talking about Colin Firth or they were talking about Colin Farrell. They were doing a who would you do? And it was like Colin Firth or Colin Farrell. And one's like, oh, Colin Farrell. And then the other one's like, I would do Colin Firth for a polite amount of time. It's just so funny. It was really great. They were funny. So the best, this is the one that does TV and movies. And the best screenplay went to Birdman. I thought you would be appreciative that the best animated feature film, Glenn, was How to Train Your Dragon Part 2.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. We watched How to Train Your Dragon Part 1. Craig Ferguson is in that, but we haven't seen Part 2 yet.
It's so good. It is so good. It was great.
You've probably watched
it
a thousand times, haven't you, with your son?
No, because we went to the theater. I actually took him to the theater for that one, but I haven't watched it 100 times because it just came out and somebody, my sister-in-law had it at Christmas or whatever, so we watched it there. But it's really good. They did the TV series. Do you guys watch Fargo?
No.
No, that won a bunch. You know what? Downton Abbey won for best performance supporting actress in a...
Yeah, I think it was one of the women who are downstairs. One of the downstairs women won.
That means nothing to me. Let's see. House of Cards. Do you guys watch that?
I watch that. That I do watch, yes. And
okay.
Kevin Spacey won for that, right?
Yeah, yep. Kevin Spacey won Best Actor in a TV series for that one. Television. There was a show that won a bunch of stuff called The Affair. Have you ever heard of The Affair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have heard of it. I haven't seen it. Yep.
It won a lot. Birdman won a lot. The Grand Budapest Hotel, which Chad says he got through a third of, which probably meant I would like it and you would hate it.
You'd probably like it, right?
Yeah, and he said that one. But the Boyhood won for Best Actor, Best Actress, actually. And Boyhood is the movie that they took 10 years to film.
I had never
heard
of
Boyhood.
Rotten Tomatoes was talking about it, too. The website Rotten Tomatoes gave it their Best Film of the Year award as well. And I had never heard of it.
So it's Patricia Arquette and this kid that they used, I can't remember his name, and then Ethan Hawke, and they're like a married couple, and they have a kid who's like 10 years old when the movie starts. And by the end of the time they're filming, they took like 3 months a year and filmed this movie as everybody aged. So it's the same kid who's 20 years old as he is 10 years old. And so that won Best Picture. And it was really interesting. The Tina Fey and Amy Poehler said at the beginning, they're like, we really want to thank Boyhood for proving that a woman in her 40s can land a really good role. Unfortunately, she had to start it in her 30s.
Yes.
So, but
that, well, you got to be committed if you're a performer to that movie, huh? You got to be committed as an actor.
I mean, imagine this kid from the age of 10 to 20, he, like, changed his hair a bunch, and they said that the director said, do whatever you're going to do in normal real life, and we'll put it on the movie and on the screen. So I thought it was interesting. I don't know if I'd sit through it, but it just looks like my family drama. You know, who needs more of that? Like, they get divorced, and the kids, I've already lived it.
Is it the Wonder Years Revisited? Is that what we have here?
Probably, yeah, probably. The Theory of Everything, which looks really good, which is a movie about Stephen Hawking, that guy, Eddie Redmayne, won Best Actor, and he was up against some really impressive, the guy that played Martin Luther King was nominated. There were some really amazing male roles this year. Or last year, and he ended up winning. I don't know. They say that some of the Golden Globes are precursors to the Academy Awards, and if this one wins and that one wins, but I've never seen that to be true. But, like, it was really cool to see, like, somebody like Michael Keaton get an award. And it's like, Michael Keaton hadn't done anything since Batman, you know, and here he is winning awards. And it was kind of like a revisit of people that you used to watch, you know. It's kind of neat.
Oh, very good. Well, there's your Golden Globe report by Jamie. We're going to take a break for a minute here to hear from our title sponsor, Omega Alpha. And then we're coming back with a fun guest. We're going to talk about a little bit of self-improvement other than food. This doesn't involve food, Jamie. This is self-improvement in other ways.
My bone connected to the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, and you can also find Omega Alpha Equine on Facebook. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine. Well, our first guest today, I'm excited to speak to her. Her name is Kate Nelligan, and she is a life and career coach and founder of Synergy TV. She was previously vice president of digital marketing at Lionsgate, and she is also a blogger at the Huffington Post and a motivational speaker. She even did a TED Talk, which we've actually covered a few of them here over the years. So let's welcome Kate to the show this morning. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, are you West Coast?
I am. It's a little early here, but I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. I gave you a chance to have coffee, at least, before you get started here this morning. You know, Lionsgate, of course, the Hunger Games comes to mind. And you've had a fun career. Have horses always been a part of your career, or did they something that took a sideline during some of the Hollywood days?
They have always been a part of my life, but definitely not part of my career. I actually took about 10 years off from riding and didn't start riding until a couple of years ago, and I've only been an equine coach for about a year now. So, yeah, they weren't part of the Hollywood mix.
You know, a lot of us have had experiences where we've had pretty good jobs and we've walked away from them to do something that we really want to do, something that's a passion for whatever reason. You kind of had the same situation in your life. You were vice president there at Lionsgate and then, you know, basically walked away from that to do something different. That's a tough one when you're doing it.
Yeah, it's been a big change. At first I thought, oh my God, people in the industry are going to think I'm crazy that I'm working with horses after, you know, working with celebrities and movies for so long. But it's my dream. I've been around them since I was in sixth grade and love them. And it's really, you know, equine coaching, I think, is one of the best ways for people to transform and improve their lives. So I wouldn't want to be doing anything else.
Tell us about Synergy TV.
Yeah, so Synergy TV is actually another part of my calling, which is really to help uplift humanity through inspiring film and television. And so that's something I started when I was actually getting my master's in spiritual psychology, and it's a curated website of basically all of the best content that is uplifting in nature. So it makes you feel good, it presents solutions, and it's really there for people to, you know, kind of have their hearts and minds opened.
You know, we've been doing this show for almost 5 years now, and every day we're here, and, you know, I had an email question over the weekend from a listener asking why we don't cover more of the barn fires and horses and more of the rescue stories and all of that. And Jamie and I explained this morning that we, you know, if we did that for an hour and a half every morning, people would walk away just being depressed all day. And it's not something that we want to do, you know, so we keep our show very light and lively, and we cover the positive, upbeat side of things. I just think people get enough of that in their daily existence with local news and national news, for that matter. And I'm so glad to see you do this, because it kind of fits in with what we were talking about this morning.
Yeah, it's so important that there's there's solutions presented to people, because I feel like hope is such a powerful tool. It's such a powerful element, and if we don't tap into it, you know, we can really become disheartened here on Earth. And I just want to be part of the solution, especially part of the solution in media and in entertainment.
Well, now you have a website called ConsciousRockstar.com, and I kept, well, every time, by the way, I would see that, Kate, I would think it said conscientious, and I think it's two different things, actually, but it's ConsciousRockstar.com. I don't know why I kept going conscientious, but that website is where you really, all of what you do is found there, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of my digital resume, but really it's my coaching site. And so the equine part of it is Equine Rockstar. And I also, my background's in marketing, so I do marketing rockstar workshops. And for me, rockstar is just all about shining light. And it's about really stepping into our best self that we can be. And so that's why I chose it. And Conscious Rockstar, we think of rockstars kind of into, you know, the drugs and all of that. And it's really about being conscious of our power and being conscious of our best self.
Well, tell us now, you're going to help us out here today, and the listeners, right? You're going to do some self-improvement tips. I asked you to come on because I really wanted, it's beginning of the year, we all do resolutions and things. And I thought, well, you know, we concentrate a lot on the horses, but I wanted to today concentrate on us.
Yeah, I love that. I'm excited.
Well, go ahead. Let's get started with the self-improvement tips that you have for us. Now, these are based, though, on what horses teach us, right?
Exactly. So I call the horses my co-coaches, and we really partner together when we work with clients. And, you know, equine coaching benefits a lot of different people. But these are sort of general tips that I've really, if not learned from them, they've really honed in on these in my life and in the lives of the clients that I've worked with. And the first is really about being authentic. And the horses celebrate authenticity. A horse is nothing other ever than a horse. But as humans, sometimes we can wear a lot of masks and pretend that we're fine when we're not. So the thing that a horse does well is they own their feelings, they own their upset, they own their fear. And they're very clear about it. And so I think, you know, as humanity...
Oh, you've met my pony, have you?
Fear or upset? Which one?
All of the above. He is very authentic to the core and will let you know what he's thinking at any given moment without any hesitation. That's
And not that we necessarily need to go around emoting all of the time, but I think that we can really... own our feelings. And my quick tip on that is really if you don't feel comfortable sharing them with people, to write them down and release them. So any fear, any anxiety, any shame, the best way to deal with it is to first dump it and write it down, and then you can burn that list or shred that list. But it's really important not to stuff stuff, because it just festers over time. And I feel like really the most important thing is to just own your feelings, admit when you're feeling afraid, know that it's just a natural emotion the way happiness and joy is, and we don't need to apologize for it, but we do need to clear it so we can move to higher and better emotions.
Well, you know, right about that, because Scooter, that isn't my pony's name, who's a Hackney pony, by the way, so that gives you a little indication, too. But he, you know, whenever he acts out, it's 5 minutes later, he's not fretting on it, is he? He's just off onto his next thing. So you're kind
That's
of right
exactly
about
right.
that.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I've heard
I'm still
like
fretting
him.
About what he did, but he's not.
Well, that's because we as humans take things personally, and that's what I love about working with horses, is they're very clear, they're clear mirrors, and so they show us our stuff, but then they can also show us the strategies of how to move through it faster, and that's what they do. They do get over things very quickly, and we need to as humans as well. We do not need to hold grudges.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so the next one is to make time for connection and for silence. And if you think about a herd, that's a lot of what they do, is they're always in connection, they're always communicating through synergy, really. And they're in silence a lot of times, and they form their bonds that way. And so, you know, another word for silence could be meditation, but really it's to take at least 5 minutes a day, and it's a great thing to do. I do it sometimes before or after I ride. And to really get quiet. And as we get quiet, we slow our breath down and we slow our thoughts down and we become a lot more centered. It makes us better riders. It makes us better people. So to take 5 minutes for silence, something I do often, we do short meditations about just being in nature before we start the equine coaching. And it just really helps people get centered and stop, you know, get out of their heads.
This is the second time I've heard this in a matter of about 4 days. Dr. Wendy Ying, who is a veterinarian but a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, that's what she did as her tip on the driving radio show last week, was when you go outside, leave your electronics, leave your phone, have some quiet time with your horse, and without all of the distractions of the world, spend some time in the field, do whatever. But just have that time that's just the two of you, they know the difference. And, you know, she even related that to dogs and cats, too. I think less so with the cats. I don't think they carry the way. But I think the dogs care.
My cats are a little more doggish, so they definitely care.
Oh, all right.
But the horses so appreciate it. I mean, we get so busy sometimes when we run to the barn and then we run back. And, you know, the horses, like, their bonds are just kind of hanging out together. And so it's taken me a while, but I've learned to just pause when I'm there with them and sit. And I've had some of my best moments ever just kind of sitting with them and reflecting. It's powerful. So that's my second tip for sure. And the third is what horses are so great at mirroring is movement. And, you know, we always hear New Year's resolutions have to do with exercise and food, but there's something about, I use the word movement instead of exercise because it feels less controlled. And really, it's about finding the movement that works for you, whether it be dance or yoga or, you know, simple forms of expression, but to really be doing it every single day. Riding is certainly obviously one of the greatest forms of movement because it's a great hip opener, which really releases a lot of great hormones, but also to really be conscious of how we're moving in the saddle and how we're moving in life. So movement's huge. It's one of the great ways to kind of create new energy in your life and to stretch, to really start when you get in the saddle and stretch. So take a moment to be silent, take a moment to stretch. It's two things that can really change just everything in your life. They're powerful.
And, of course, yoga on the ground and yoga on horses is one of the most popular upcoming things now. I mean, Wellington apparently has more yoga going on right now with all the horse people down there over the winter than they've ever had. That is one of the big movements down there is yoga. So exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something I've been wanting to experience myself. I haven't done yoga on horseback yet. So it's on my list for this year for sure. And then the fourth is to acknowledge yourself. So this is something that we often do with horses. We're so taught to pat them on the neck, say good boy, good girl, to acknowledge them when they're doing a behavior that we want to reinforce. But we don't often think about doing this with ourselves. And so, again, 5 minutes a day, this practice can change your life. If you write down all the things from your day that you're proud of, that you feel like you did well. And it's not just also about actions that you took, but really ways that you showed up. So, you know, we often acknowledge each other only on these big, you know, occasions, but really for us to start to form deeper levels of self-confidence and self-love, the best way is to start this practice of acknowledging ourselves. It's not selfish. It's just a different filter of noticing how we're good people and the things that we're doing well in the world, because it reinforces it the way it does when we acknowledge horses.
Very good. And you have a fifth one on here that I think is important too. And I wanted to hear what you had to say about it, because the word's just joy or happiness, I assume.
Yeah. Well, horses are so, for me, a mirror of joy. Like, they just enjoy, a lot of them enjoy being a horse. And you know they do, and they celebrate, and they have just full expression, you know, with their bodies. And often when I bring people to the ranch where I work, they are so joyful themselves. They just feel immediate connection with either, like, that younger part of them that felt really joyful and innocent. So the thing that I love to coach, I have a video about this too, is to create a joy list and to write down everything that brings you joy, big or small, and make it as long as you can. I think my list is over 100. And to write down these specific things, and then at the beginning of each week to schedule one in your calendar, to carve out time for it, to pick a number yourself or to have a loved one pick a number from your list, and then do that week. And if it doesn't work that week, pick another number. But it's just so important that we spend time cultivating joy in our lives. And it's really, it just, again, it bleeds into all other areas. And find ways to make your riding practice or your time with horses more joyful. What might that look for you? For me, like, I'll bring a ball out sometimes. And, you know, we'll experiment with which horses are going to be fun with a ball. So it's really about creating time for that. So making a joy list is one of my favorite coaching tools.
You know, this may sound, I think if you listen to your list of the five things and you think about them, they may for some people seem a little selfish. Like, but that's the point, right? That's what you're really trying to get at, is to spend some more time on yourself. Because by spending more time on yourself, you're able to help others in a better way, whether it's your family or your friends or your horses or your animals.
That's exactly right. I think as a society, especially in America, we have so been trained to put other people first. And, you know, service also includes ourselves. It doesn't just mean to serve others. So it's so important. It's the whole oxygen mask analogy of put your oxygen mask on first so that you're able to do it for others. You know, when we're burnt out and we're no good to anyone, and we know that. And, when you know, there's also that funny saying of happy wife, happy life. But there really is an opportunity. Yeah, it's about self-love. And so, you know, I'm on a mission to really bring more of that to the world for myself as well. It's something I've struggled with in the past, really beating myself up a lot. So now it's about what are the simple tools that can bring us more of these great qualities like presence and joy and self-confidence. Like, these are not bad things for anyone to have.
Now, Jamie is a new mom, you know, 18-month-old or thereabouts, almost 2 years old. And Jamie, so over the last 2 years, I bet you as a new mom, it gets hard to focus on yourself.
You know, it's just, I had that kind of weekend where I don't feel like I had any time to myself. So it is definitely something that new moms do. I mean, my gosh, I would love to just like get out of the house and go get my eyebrows waxed. And you can't even find 5 freaking minutes to do that. Jeez.
You need to put that on your joy list. That needs to be one of the things that you put on your joy list, and some week you go get that accomplished.
Oh, that'd be nice. I mean, my gosh, I just get a haircut and the eyebrow wax. But yeah, you're right. No, I need to be on the joy list, and I need to take more time to myself. It's just difficult. Just one of those things. I feel like I've got a couple years where it's not all about me.
You know what, Kate? That's got to be what you run into the most is new moms, though, who just don't feel like they have any time for 5 years.
Yeah. And I have a lot of friends that are new moms right now, and I so respect that and feel for that. And I've heard sacrifice being called making something sacred, and that's what you're doing. You're putting the child first, as it should be. You know, it won't always be that way, but I still think, mm-hmm. you know, balance is something that so many of us still strive for. You know, having a couple businesses, I feel like they're my children in a different way, obviously, than humans, but it is, if I don't take time to do certain things for myself, you know, I just get run down. I'm not thinking as clearly. I make bad decisions. So it seems counterintuitive to, you know, when there is no time, but it's like the way to actually, it just, you have to be more proactive in carving it out. It, you know, it's a little bit mm-hmm. harder for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta tell you, I struggled with this yesterday, actually, and I do almost every weekend. Because we have so much to do. Jennifer and I run the network. There's 8 shows. You know, we do the advertising. We do everything. We just, like you said, you know, it's kind of that entrepreneur thing where you never have enough help. And yesterday I had about 100 things I could have done for the business, but I also said to myself in the morning, you know, I need that downtime, especially doing what we do, where we do shows all week and you're on the whole time, and, you know, you're selling ads and you're talking to sponsors and doing all that stuff. I just really do need, and I feel guilty, though. That's the hard part, is yesterday I felt guilty for not working all day.
I hear you, and I'm like that, too. But I'm like that because I so love what I do, and I'm sure you're the same. So, but, you know, it just becomes habit if we don't carve it out, and it, life can get away from us. People always say, I have to find time for that. You can't find time. You have to create it. You have to schedule it. It's about managing it, because we all have the same amount of hours in the day. But if you look at some of, like, these top leaders in the world, they're exercising. I mean, what, you know, Tony Robbins does for exercise, like, it's incredible. But he also only does the meditation and visualization experience, I think, for less than 10 minutes. You know, he's quick, and it's still powerful. So I'm advocating the 5 minute to start with.
Well, and you know what we do, too, sometimes, you know, talk about spend time with the horses, and I love doing this, and it sounds silly, and I think people in the neighborhood think we're silly. I don't know if, Jamie, if you've ever done this, but you only have a half an hour. You don't have time to tack up, and even harnessing up and hooking to a cart takes longer. So it even takes longer to do what I do. We just take the horses for a walk around the block, around the neighborhood, and we have a horsey neighborhood, so we can kind of do that and be safe about it. But, you know, we'll just take them for a walk around the block. It'll be a half an hour, and it's, you know, it's that quality time you're talking about, without interruptions, and they get a mental stimulus, and it, you know, it seems silly, and people kind of laugh at us, but we do it probably once or twice a week. We just take the horses for a walk on the lead.
No, that's nice.
Do it that way. Yeah, so it is kind of fun that way. Well, the website, thank you so much for joining us with this. It's consciousrockstar.com, not conscientious. Consciousrockstar.com is the website. And I got to ask you before we leave, because the audience would be disappointed if I didn't, because I'm a huge Jennifer Lawrence fan. You worked for Lionsgate, Horse Hunger mm-hmm. Games. Did you ever meet her?
I didn't meet her. I've met quite a few of others. I left right before Hunger Games came out, actually, which is amazing. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So, but I've seen them all, and, you know, read the book and all that, and she's such a fantastic actress. So, wish I did.
And at Lionsgate, that had to be their biggest property, right? I mean, Hunger Games.
It is. And so people definitely think of that. I mean, they've had the Saw franchise and all the Tyler Perry films. And certainly Crash was theirs, which is interesting. People don't always think that, and they have such a huge library, like Dirty Dancing's in their library. But, yeah, Hunger Games was their biggest theatrical, and it did happen after I left. So I miss those
games. So you mentioned Crash. Now, that is Sandra Bullock is also one of Glenn's favorites. Spend
yes,
any time with her?
True.
No, I haven't spent time with her either, but she's one of my favorites also. I love her as an actress.
You can lie. You can say, yeah, we're best friends. We don't know.
Yeah, but she knows that the next question is, can we get her on the show? She knows that's the next question. Kate's smart. She knows that. So
yeah, but you know,
that's why I can't lie.
Yeah, right.
Cause that when
yeah, because you know that one's
going to
come back
her.
And bite you in the butt. Well, thank you, Kate. We really appreciate you being here. And have a terrific 2015.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care. It's consciousrockstar.com. And that's Kate Milligan. Well, and also I posted a link this morning to her Pursuit of Perfection TED Talk that she did. You can find that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Well, let's take a break for a song right now. I have for you today, I have Sugar High by Stephanie Quayle, who's a horse girl. And then we're going to come back with more show. Leslie's going to be here with the Wacky World of Horses and Horse Nation.
Of the ground.
That is Sugar High by Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We're brought to you today, as I said, by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, Jamie, I got to say that wasn't it over the weekend that California Chrome took the Vox Populi Award, which is the Secretariat Vox Populi Award?
Yes, super exciting for him. And I know that the owner, Steve Coburn, co-owner, was very excited. And he even said, because they had a little, was it at Santa Anita, I think? They had like giving him the award. And of course, Penny Chenery was there and she created this award, which just makes it all the more legitimate. But she gave it to Steve Coburn, and he said, "We have always said Chrome is the people's horse, and we are thrilled that the public feels the same way we do about him, because obviously you can vote on it,
For those who don't remember, last year, our boyfriend Mucho Macho Man won. The year before that was Painter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Mucho Macho Man and Painter in 2012. And Painter, of course, came back from a near-death experience to go on the race and win. The horse before that was Rapid Redo, who won, I don't know, like 60 races. I mean, obviously running in the lower levels, but he was amazing at gelding. And then Zenyatta won the first one, which so he's in good company, that is for sure. I'm telling you, when we were at Santa Anita for the Breeders' Cup, when the announcer mentioned California Chrome's name, be it in the paddock or coming out on track, the place went crazy. The people love this horse, and there is no doubt about that he should have won the Vox Populi Award, which, of course, means voice of the people. So really, really good for them. Now, I also, Glenn, while I was, you guys were talking, I started looking at some of the, to jump back to the Golden Globes, to look at some of the outfits on the red carpet, because I thought I should be really a little bit more thorough for the women that listen to this that want to hear about that. Those of us that ride horses and don't really dress up that much, it's kind of fun sometimes to look. It was not fun. Holy cow, somebody needs to eat a sandwich in Hollywood. Good Lord, they're called carbs, people. There is actually a picture that I'm like, oh my gosh, she looks like a skeleton. And I'm getting back to it right now because it was frightening how many of these women look like total skeletons. Juliana Rancic, who is the one that's on the red carpet interviewing all the people, it's disturbing. I'm gonna actually post this picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so you guys can see what a skeleton these people are. And I don't get it. Like Reese Witherspoon is like a normal person. Look, I'm sure she's super skinny, but she looks normal compared to this girl. I got to post the picture. You're going to be like,
I do
oh
want to
my
see Reese's
gosh.
Movie. My brother saw Reese's movie Wild.
Yeah.
And I do
yeah,
want to see that.
Wild.
That looks. Yeah, that looks pretty good. I think I want to see that one. I saw the picture, too. White seemed to be it this year, too. Everybody seemed to be wearing white dresses. By the way, I will say J-Lo is not super skinny, but she can wear any dress anytime. Just saying.
And that's J-Lo's the thing is, like, women, you don't have to be like a skeleton. And I'm sure that somebody like Juliana Rancic this morning, people are going, oh, my God, she's way too skinny. And she's probably like, yes. Thank God they said that. Because you're hungry, and you're crazy when you're hungry. Trust me, I know. I've been hungry for 12 days now. Oh, my gosh. I'm posting it right now.
Hey, there's something coming up, too. January 23rd here in Ocala. I know we have a lot of Ocala listeners. If you're in the area, the Florida Parade of Retired Equine Champions charity is doing a special event on January 23rd from 9 to 2:30. And what it is a tour of the upscale thoroughbred farms, including Stone Street Stables and Goldmark Farm. The highlight of the tour, Jamie's going to die, the highlight of the tour will be at Stone Street, where participants will watch the two-year-old daughter of Rachel Alexandra gallop. Afterward, they will have a photo opportunity with the filly. And champion mare Rachel Alexandra, you know, we all know what she did. And then at Goldmark, a state-of-the-art equine facility will showcase their newborn thoroughbred foals and give guests the opportunity to take pictures and, you know, see the vibration systems and the spa and the barn and all that stuff. So that's coming up at $75 a person. You have to get your reservations in. You'll be taken by luxury motor coach. I guess that means it's not a school bus. They're probably getting a nicer vehicle to take you around to the different farms is what I guess by that. So that's coming up, and you can just Google that, and you'll find more information about that on January the 23rd. We're busy that day, or we'd take a ride around and see the farms. That would be fun.
That'd be awesome. And I think that Jess's Dream is the first horse from Rachel Alexander. She's out working, and I'm wondering,
yeah.
You know, you bring up Rachel Alexandra. It's like, I want to know so much. Are they going to breed her back? You know, the first foaling she had did not go well with Jess's Dream, so they had to get a nurse mare. The second one, she almost died, so they gave her then a year off or 2 years off. And so I'm curious to know whether they're going to. No,
you know?
Well, not right now. I mean, it's January. So I'm just curious that, you know, they breed them. They'll start trying to find their heat cycles now, so they can have a baby as close to January 1st as possible. But, oh, my gosh, like,
I don't know. I mean, she ended up almost dying and in Rude and Riddle Hospital after this last one. And, you know, I don't know. I totally agree that having babies is really hard on a body. And, you know, I just the more and more of these broodmares I look at that have had 10 babies 10 years in a row, I'm like, oh, God, you poor thing. Oh, bless your heart. It's just terrible.
All right.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
It is that time of the week again. We get to talk to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, bringing us the wacky world of horses. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Did you watch the Golden Globes last night and notice that every woman in Hollywood needs to eat a freaking sandwich?
Now I was watching that that football game, crying for Peyton Manning.
My husband got himself into some trouble yesterday, so he had to watch the Golden Globes last night. He had no choice.
Oh, God, that sucks.
Uh-oh.
He regretted that trouble.
It's true. It's like I'm like, oh, there was a football game on. He didn't even try to watch that.
but you know what's cute about that football game is that it was the Colts versus the Broncos. So it's kind of horsey, right?
It is horsey. So did the Colts win or the Broncos win?
The Colts.
They do have a good color blue. I like that blue. That's how I pick teams. Like, I like that color. Like navy blue and orange doesn't go together, but blue and white is good. Really.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you get cool points for not watching the Golden Globes and watching football, at least to your husband and to my husband.
Right.
I really like to watch that game. I'm like, oh, look at Juliana's dress. I'm like, don't you think Reese Witherspoon looks so good? I'm like, oh, my gosh. He and George Clooney married so well. Oh, great. He's like, yes, honey. Yes,
did
honey.
He take a tranquilizer
sure,
before
he
this show started?
Checked
the
before on his phone.
Yeah, did he run out to the bathroom ahead of time, take a tranquilizer before? Was he, like, sleep 5 minutes into it?
He was IVing scotch. Is that, does that count?
That's close.
That counts.
Well, Leslie, speaking of hot guys, I really appreciate what you did for me on your Horses in the Morning Horse Nation Facebook Horse Nation website. I'm looking at your Facebook page right now. Tell everybody about the hotties. I get all flustered.
Yeah, we really took a hit for the team this week. Jamie is always encouraging us to stalk hot polo players on the internet, and we're typically happy to oblige. last week, I'd seen, there's been some news with the polo team, the U.S. polo team, and they're doing really well, and they're going to the, World Championship Finals in March in Santiago, Chile. And so anyway, I saw a group shot of those boys, and put it out to my riders that if anyone felt like doing a little stalking, I'm sure a great deal of our readership would be appreciative. So Kristen Kovach stepped up to the plate and really did some good investigative journalism here, rounding up fun facts and pictures and about our U.S. team. There's some cuties for sure.
I am a Will Tankard fan. I am a Will Tankard fan, and he's out playing tennis, and like you were saying in your article, that he's showing off them white equestrian horse guy legs because they're white and his arms are brown. adorable. And then sadly, I looked down and I'm like, ooh, Patrick Uritz is like really hot. And then I'm like, oh, my God, he could be my son.
Yeah, he looks like he's 12.
He does look like a baby, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He can't be that young, but he's in college, so at least he's over 18. That's all I need, baby. Happier age plus 7, right?
What about this other guy, Felipe, who also apparently plays tennis? Apparently that's like a popular hobby, side hobby.
I am really shocked, Jamie, that I have not gotten a request from you to try and get press passes for the World Polo Championships in Chile.
I didn't know that was an option, Glenn. I would be more than happy to go down and cover it for you. I need somebody to carry my equipment, and I'm sure Leslie Wiley would be happy to oblige.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine going on a trip to Chile together with hot polo players. We'd have two divorces by the time you got back.
Yeah, with any luck. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Tommy, if you're listening out there. I love you.
I love you, baby.
You're the hottest.
Love you. You're the hottest ever.
That was good timing, Leslie.
Like,
that was perfect.
Sometimes I just forget that people are listening to this. You know what I mean?
I do that all the time. I do that all the time. And I forget that my husband's in the other room and probably can hear me. Well, let's move on before we get ourselves in trouble. 7 things you'll find at Barnes of the Ultra Wealthy. And did you say that you've worked at Barnes with some of these things?
Yeah, I ran a real swank barn for a few years for a woman who just had, more money than sense, I would venture to say. So we had Carla Lake put together sort of some popular,
amenities.
That's the word. Yes. Popular amenities and barns of the rich and famous. So the first one was chandeliers. Check. I definitely worked in a barn that had chandeliers.
Every barn needs a chandelier. Doesn't yours
chandelier.
Have a chandelier, Leslie?
Gosh, that's really pretty. That is a pretty
barn.
Where
the hell do you live, Leslie? You don't have a chandelier in your barn?
Not anymore, nope. But I did work at one that did have chandeliers, and let me tell you, not worth it. You know, imagine, like, I'm 5'1", me teetering on a stepladder,
trying
dusting
to cobweb
the chandeliers.
That sounds really stupid. As soon as I looked up, I'm like, oh, the amount of dirt getting on that thing has got to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought of cobwebs right away.
Yeah, exactly. another one, a room to admire your trophies and your horses. A trophy room, especially one with, these picture windows where you can just look out onto the vista of your rolling green hills dotted with horses, or maybe overlooking your riding arena. I always like those viewing rooms, you know.
Yeah, let's be fair. This the room you guys have pictured has beautiful glass windows. It looks out to, I don't know if it's a track, a racetrack, and the room is gorgeous and the furniture is impeccable. And then you read that that is Bill Gates' ranch. Yeah, Bill Gates has some nice places, not gonna lie.
It's all right, yeah.
You know, the problem with having a trophy room, too, is you got to have trophies to put in it. I mean, that's the problem with the trophy room. Yeah.
That's the problem with trophy rooms.
Hey, listen, some of us have a lot of fourth place ribbons from horse trials at the beginner novice level, and I would like to show them off. And so, fourth place. Then you move down to having a concierge. Who doesn't have a concierge at their barn?
Right.
Also, we need to have some, the people at the $98 million Shakespeare Ranch, tell everybody what they have.
They have a chef's kitchen and a wall. So it's a separate barn specifically for parties. It has a kitchen and walls stacked high with wine.
Oh, my God. It looks like there must be 1,000 bottles of wine in the barn.
Yeah.
It looks like, without the wine, it looks like a really awesome bar that you would go to,
restaurant
bar.
It looks like something
bar.
You see at Disney World or something. You know, it's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, this is some guy's barn?
What is
the Shakespeare Ranch, anyway? Do we know it's Shakespeare Ranch?
Oh, we'll have to, she's linked to it. We'll have to look into this place, see if we can get an invite to their next party.
Oh, it's for sale. Wait a minute. It's for sale. I just went. It's Sotheby's has it. It's for sale. It's in Nevada. Jamie, it's right next to you. It's in Nevada, Glenbrook, Nevada, and it's 133-acre Tahoe Lakefront Ranch. It has vistas of the Montana and Wyoming mountains. 40,000, or it has five boat buoys, so it has a dock. It has 397-foot shared pier. Seem to concentrate more on that than anything. Oh, the house is only 9,500 square feet. 17 guest homes and cabins. There's 17 guest homes. All for a mere $98 million, by the way.
That is a bargain.
$98 million.
That's $100 million. That's amazing.
Oh, the ring looks pretty though. There's a nice, pretty ring. It's all it's well manicured.
I'm sorry, you live in Nevada? I want an indoor. Where's my covered arena? We don't need much, but I just need a covered arena, and I don't understand why this place doesn't have it. Forget it. I'm not buying.
Okay, Jamie's out. Save that,
that was the one.
Million. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I really, you know, I didn't read this article, Leslie, but to know what you wrote is watching a really hot guy on a horse ride poorly a total turnoff, and it absolutely is. But now tell us about Juan Pablo, The Bachelor.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I don't really watch The Bachelor or any of the Bachelorette, whatever. I personally not a big fan. But apparently, this guy is a pretty popular guy, Juan Pablo. He was in the 2014, so last year's season. Professional soccer player. For me, like, there are, even for super hot guys, like, there's just some things that I can't get past. If they can't use proper punctuation in a text message, or if they're just really sloppy typo written text message, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't. I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me. You know.
I'm out.
But, and so this was an interesting thought experiment. So you've got this super super hot guy. You put him on a horse, and it's just, I don't know. Does it? He just can't ride. Shatter the fantasy, or can you look past that? I don't know.
I want to make everybody know, I never watched The Bachelor, but this guy is an American-born Venezuelan former professional soccer player who retired in 2008, and he was on The Bachelor, and he was The Bachelor. And all I know is that Jimmy Fallon, because I watch every Jimmy Fallon, would make fun of him every week. Juan Pablo. We call him Juan Pablo. And apparently Juan Pablo wasn't like... He was kind of an ass. It ended up being quite an ass. And
aren't
he slept
all
with a bunch of girls on the show. And, yeah, I mean, I know you're shocked. But he is really good looking. And watching this, I'm using finger quotes, ride that he's doing, it's pretty awful. It hurts. Like, the horse is going around, running away with him, then starts cross-cantering and fixes its lead despite his best efforts. He's yanking on his face. His hands are up by his shoulders. His feet are out in front of him. He's riding with no helmet and tennis shoes. I mean, who wears tennis shoes to a barn if you're a dude? Come on. So... I didn't think he was hot because he is an ass, but watching this, even if he was somebody I appreciated, I would laugh. I would laugh.
Yeah. You know, horses are just the great levelers, right? You can be the hottest guy in the world, but, you know, everybody's on level ground when you're, when you're on the back of a horse. We're all on the same page. So, quite humbling.
But he posted this video of himself. So he must think that it's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, he thinks that was really awesome. Like, look at me. I'm awesome. Oh, Leslie, as always, you keep us up to date on what is happening in the world. And I appreciated that so many of them... We're talking about dudes, and I that's where we go to get our horse hottie fixed. It's horsenation.com. So thank you so much Keep them coming, Leslie. Keep them coming.
My pleasure.
Bye, Leslie.
We'll talk.
All right, bye.
That's horsenation.com. Well, we have a couple minutes left on the show, and there's something we don't do enough on this show, and that's just call people at random. And it's Reese's birthday today, and I don't know if she's riding a horse or teaching a lesson or what, but let's try and call her. Let's see if I can do this. Oh, I did it.
It's always a bad idea.
I know. It always is, but it's fun.
I tell her you're interested in buying a horse.
She knows my voice. You do it.
Okay.
Not gonna prank call. What's wrong with her? Come on, Reese. Answer the phone. I don't care if you're riding. Get off the horse.
I'll leave her a message.
It's your birthday. All right. I don't even know if we're going to get a voicemail. That's right.
What the heck?
Good Lord. How many times does her phone ring? All right. I just cancel that.
Oh,
yeah,
I was ready to leave her such a good message.
We missed Reese. Oh, well, we tried. We tried to get a hold of her. Didn't happen. Well, happy birthday, Reese, anyway.
I was interested in a horse, and if she calls me back in the next 5 minutes, I would really appreciate it at 347-637-3238. And maybe she would have called back.
Oh, that would have been good. That would have been good, but we weren't even getting her answer machine.
Well, you get points for trying. Points for trying, Glenn.
I tried. You know, we've always said we were going to start doing that with really bad ads. We all really ought to try it once. Ought to find one, have the phone number, and call them. I don't know. Is that legal? We're not on, like, FCC on the air, so do we even have to tell them?
You know, I don't know what rules apply to podcasts. I would expect you would know that, but whatever.
I don't know either.
You know, Glenn, I think there is a rule for that.
If
they live in a state where handguns are legal, then we don't want to call them.
Oh, yeah, true. And, you know, the whole you got to warn them before they're being recorded thing, I think, too. I think that probably applies.
Now, I do want to just comment on something I posted on Facebook because I'm curious to know what everybody else thinks. While the song was playing, I got up and opened my back door, and I saw Joey laying in his stall like he had been shot. You know, the flat out lying like they're dead. And I'm not super close to him, so I can't see his breathing. So if I see a horse laying flat out like that, I'm like, hey, you there? Like, you alive? And I wait for them to lift their head, and then they usually ignore me and go back to sleep. And I was curious to know whether everybody else does that too. Like, if you see a horse lying flat out, do you have a panic attack? So I posted the question on Facebook. And so far, Jennifer, what's your answer? Do you do that?
Oh, yeah, every time.
Why do we do that? Like, let the poor guy sleep. But they only lay flat out like 15 minutes a day, and we have to disturb it. But I can't help it.
And we wonder why they have ulcers.
I know. We're not the only one.
They can't get
we're
rest.
Not the only one.
No, I do the same thing. I have the horses right outside my window here, and if I see them laying flat out, I do have to look. And there have been many times when I've seen them both lying flat out, and that's kind of ultimately disturbing because you don't see that very often where they're all at the same time laying flat out. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, man, somebody shoot my horses. You know, you take a quick look. And yeah,
I
do that. You're not the only one. And you know what? We make fun of those people that go by farms and stop and tell them that their horses are dead in the field because they're just sleeping. You know, we make fun of those people that don't know anything, yet we kind of take a double take when our horses are laying flat out.
Well, you know, I used to say, oh, so-and-so's dead, you know, and, like, make a joke of it until I worked at the vet clinic, and we drove up one day, and I was like, oh, so-and-so's dead, and it was a horse in for treatment, and he was dead.
Oh, no.
I don't say that anymore. Your horse is dead in the field. No, it might be. So I don't say, oh, so-and-so's dead. He's dead. No, because they might
yeah.
be, because it's happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah, now I won't be saying it anymore either, because I used to say that to dead. You know, I say that to her all the time. Yeah.
It
okay,
only takes
we'll
one actual dead horse to stop you from saying that.
All right, I'll pass on that one from now on.
Yeah, let's go. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to our story. Sorry I didn't have a better vegan food fest story for you, Glenn. It's my fault. My fault.
You didn't have one piece of food while you were there, except for a power bar you could have bought at Walmart.
Dude, I'm so hungry. I mean, I'm hungry now, but, like, I was really hungry when I went to that thing. You know it's bad if you're sucking down some baby food in a pouch.
Hey, tomorrow we have the Endurance Day with Karen Chatton. I know it's a lot of people's favorite show of the month, so join us for Endurance Day. And also on Thursday, we have Mary Kitzmiller's second episode here. But we'll be, Jamie and I will be back on Wednesday as well. So have a terrific day. Be safe. Wear your helmets.
Stay neutered, gals. Eat a sandwich.
Have a burger. I can't believe you leave your friend ate a sandwich after all that.
I'm going to go have a pamphlet for lunch.
A business card.